So this is Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu class, 2008. And we were reading about the benefit of touching the deity of the Lord, if one is pavitram and shraddha, if he's purified and accepted as a Brahmin, if he has faith, which is synonymous with advancement in bhakti, development of faith, then he has the privilege to touch the deity form of the Lord. And there's some commentary that we read yesterday that Vishwanath is especially glorifying the deity of Govindaji in Vrindavan. But Jiva Goswami says that what he means to say is that to see Govindaji, especially in Vrindavan, there's a speciality of Govindaji. Then the translator's note says there are three presiding deities in Vrindavan, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, who have won the hearts of the followers of Sri Chaitanya. These are the deities of Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. These three deities are the presiding lords of Sambandha Gyan, knowledge of the eternal relationship between the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and the individual finite self. Abhideya, or the means to the end, Govindaji, and Prayojan, the final end, which is Prem. Sri Chaitanya entrusted Sanatana Goswami to write on the concepts of Ishwara, or God, the individual soul, the Jagat, or the manifested phenomenal world, and Maya, the external potency of Krishna, and their interrelationships. So this Sambandha Gyan, this is the prerogative or the area of concern of Sanatana Goswami. And Sambandha Gyan includes relationship between God and the finite self, the Jiva and God, the relationship between two finite persons, and the relationship between God and the material world, and the relationship between two phenomenal objects, and the relationship between the Chit Jivatma and the Achit or inanimate phenomenal object. Well, that's a very interesting comment. Sri Sanatana Goswami, by his writing, showed that Madan Mohan was a presiding deity of these fivefold interrelationships or sambandha. Very interesting, all these relationships. Generally, we say it's a relationship between the Jiva and God. What is our relationship? Ishvara, he's the Ishvara, we're the servant, he's the master, we're predominated, he's the predominator. We usually say that. But here there's five different types of sambandha. Relationship between God and the Jiva, then the relationship between two Jivas. That's also sambandha. Well, that comes under Vaishnava behavior. Sadachar, Vaishnava Sadachar, how we relate. Or how we relate with other Jivas that aren't Vaishnavas. Asat Sangatyag e Vaishnavachar. So that's relationship between two Jivas, but it's not congenial. So we avoid those that are atheists and Pashandis, Gnostics, non-believers. So this is also relationship. And then it's relationship between two phenomenal objects. That means just two objects of this world. What's the relationship between the temple and the neighborhood or the objects of the world? Relationship between the Jiva and the inanimate object. So what's the relationship between us and this world? Not only the Jiva and God, or two Jivas, or which can be of two different categories, devotee Jivas or non-devotee Jivas, and then just the relationship between two objects, material objects, how they relate, relationships. And this is practically the science of physics. They're always discussing the laws and interplay of different objects, how the neutrons circle around the whatever, all these things and universes. So then there's the relationship between we, the living beings, and the objects of this world itself. How do we relate to this world? Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchite. That our relationship with the objects of this material world, are they for us to exploit and keep and hold and have as our own? Or are these objects meant to be, what are we meant to do with these objects? And that's that whole philosophy. Rupa Goswami says that everything as utility. Utility is a principle, so the principle of utility can be fully expressed when our consciousness is fully developed. A person in full God consciousness can utilize everything, and that's the ultimate principle. The ultimate principle is to utilize everything for the pleasure of God, all animate and inanimate objects. So this fifth relationship, fifth type of sambandha, sambandha gyan, is knowledge of how the living entity interacts with the inanimate phenomenal world. That means the non-living, the energy, how we interact, what is our relationship with the earth element and the water element and the air element and the ether element, fire element, and all the permutations and combinations of these elements with which make various objects, whether it be molecules and atoms or bricks and stones and steel and all the objects. Well, Krishna sambandha, right? Everything has a sambandha. The sambandha is everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavasya madam sarvam jatena jagatena. Krishna is telling his Upanishad that everything is mine. All these phenomenal objects belong to God. And we as jivas, our relationship with these phenomenal objects is to offer them to the owner, to the possessor, and that's bhakti, or one type of bhakti. So all these five relationships are, and this fivefold interrelationships, this is the substance of sambandha gyan, and the deity that's kind of overseeing this, these relationships. The relationship deity is Madan Mohan, who was discovered in Dwarasaditya Tila, was discovered in Dwarasaditya Tila by Advaitacharya and Advaitavat, and then later worshipped by Mathura Brahman, Purushottam Chobe, and introduced to Sanatana Goswami while he was doing Madhukari in Mathura. And then he brought him back to Dwarasaditya Tila, from whence he manifested and commenced the Seva Puja there of Madan Mohan, who was previously called Madan Gopal. We sing that song to the different deities of Vrindavan. Jaya Radha Madan Gopal, Radha Madan Gopal, Radhe Sitanatha Prandanahe, Sitanatha Prandanahe. The Pranadan, the wealth of life of the Lord, of the husband of Sita Devi. Well, this is, of course, Advaitacharya. So this is the deity of sambandha. Similarly, initiated, so he's the presiding, it's interesting phrasing here, that Madan Mohan is the presiding deity of the fivefold interrelationships, or sambandha gyan, these fivefold relationships. So we could draw something here in line of what we're studying in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that one of the devotional principles is off to reveal one's mind or offer prayers to the Srimurti, Prarthana. We discuss this. There's some Prarthana and Danya Bodhika and Lala Samayi. There's three categories of prayers, Vigyapti, it's called prayers, or supplication to the Lord. So one is that we want to understand the relationships. We want to understand sambandha gyan. So if it is a fact, which we're told here, that Madan Mohan is the Lord or presiding, as it says here, he's the presiding Lord, he's the minister, he's the relationship minister, minister of relationships. So we can pray to Madan Mohan, Vigraha. Of course, he's now, the original one is residing in Karoli, but wherever he manifests, in that aspect of Madan Mohan, he's manifesting here at Radhakunda Madan Mohan, and also at Vrindavan, or wherever. And we can pray to him, and we can say, my dear Lord, you are the presiding Lord of relationships. So ultimately, the ultimate relationship, aside from these five relationships, which are acting in this material world, and also interfacing or interacting with the spiritual world, the jiva and God, this is the one that's most crucial and important to all sadhakas, is what is my eternal relationship, nitya sambandha. And this is one of the aspects of siddhadeha. One of the aspects of siddhadeha, or what they call ekadash bhav, the 11 symptoms of the siddhadeha, one is sambandha. Sambandha means what is the relationship. So we can pray to Madan Mohan to help us work peacefully and devotionally in the context of these five relationships that he oversees. and ultimately to Rhea, what is our sambandha with the eternal associates of Krishna and Vrindavan. Well, similarly, Sri Chaitanya empowered Rupa Goswami to reveal the esoteric concept of Abhideya, which is pure bhakti, as a means to realizing the eternal relationship that exists between Krishna and the finite jiva. So this aspect of relationship, there's five aspects, five types of sambandha, and one is the relationship between the jiva, or us, and God, so that Madan Mohan is the lord of that. But then when that's somewhat understood, then we have to act in that relationship. So then it's being said here that to realize that eternal relationship, then Govindaji, he is the lord of that active principle in a relationship. There's a relationship which is a basis, a foundation, but then there's action, the active principle of a relationship, the give and the take, the duties, the exchanges, the feelings, the communication, the services. This is all the Abhideya aspect. So Sanatan Goswami, he installed the Vigraha of Madan Mohan in Vrindavan, who was the eternal lord of his heart's choice. Well, Rupa Goswami made the Supreme Lord Krishna manifest in his archa form as Sri Govinda Vrindavan. Both Rupa and Sanatan Goswami had some rich devotees build two magnificent temples in Vrindavan dedicated to Madan Mohan and Govindaji. Madan Mohan temple is the oldest, being opened in 1580, and Govindaji was opened in 1590, which is the finest temple in the whole northern India, as it's told here. It is necessary here to mention that the conception of Archa Vigraha of Vishnu or Krishna is not correctly understood by the ignorant people, and they very often confuse deity worship with idolatry or stone worship. It is utterly misconceived notion about the worship of the Archa Vigraha of Vishnu by a Vaishnava. Of course, this is a point that's very interesting. How the Lord, he manifests before the living entity in five different forms. And they're all accessible at different levels of devotion. These five manifestations of the Lord are manifest, or they're revealed to the devotee at different levels and stages of devotional progress. So let's hear what those five forms of the Lord are. The first form is the most difficult to perceive and to realize, and the most complete form of the Lord, and this is Swayam Bhagavan, Swayam Rup. Swayam Rup Krishna, the Supreme Divinity, who has an eternal, spiritual, two-armed, all-beauteous form of Satchidananda in Braj. He is the cause of all causes, and the Lord of all lords, the origin and beginning of everything else. And he exists in his own form as he is. So, of course, this Swayam Rup is Krishna, as it's told in Bhagavatam, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. This is the final form of the Lord that one will see and realize at the point of the most complete level of perfection, to have Sakshat Darshan of Krishna. Then the second form is a projected form of Krishna, the Swayam Prakash. The same Swayam Rup Krishna projects himself out of his own supreme prerogative or desire and his inconceivable potency into many different types of forms. This is called Swayam Prakash, or sometimes called Tad Ek Katma Rup Krishna. These are many bodies simultaneously manifest, each form identical with the original form of Swayam Rup Krishna, as was done at the time of the Rasa dance and at the time of the marriage of the 16,108 queens of Dwarka. So, in the Rasa dance, we often see paintings of Krishna, one Gopi, Gopi Krishna, Gopi Krishna. And then there's a Krishna and a Radha, Radharani, standing in the center of the circle. So the Krishna in the center of the circle is the original form. He's always, he has a reserved position to always be with Radharani. This is the original form. There's no other form. And this is Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And he expands himself as Swayam Prakash to be dance with the other gopis. Same color, same form, but there's some slight difference internally in terms of bhav. The bhav that he has is determined by the association he attains. So Radharani has the most unique bhav of all the gopis, although they themselves are also Swayam Prakash of Radharani. Krishna is a Swayam Prakash Rupa and so does Radharani. They're called Kaya Vyuha. So these forms, the expanded forms of the gopis, they look like something like Radharani, but not as beautiful as Radharani. And their hearts are very similar to Radharani, but not the same as Radharani's heart. They can have experienced Mahabhava, but not this Modanakya Mahabhava of Radharani, this Mohanakya, which is her reserved for Radharani. So in the same way, the Swayam Bhagavan Krishna in the center of the circle, his heart has a special love in his heart and a special ability for him to exchange with Radharani that's not in the Swayam Prakash forms that are dancing with the other gopis. So these are some of the fine points of understanding the Rasa dance. Because as we say that Krishna never takes a step outside of Vrindavan, Radharani never takes a step out of Vrindavan. But even more particularly, Krishna never takes a step away from Radharani. And Radharani never takes a step away from Krishna. So that wherever Krishna is, Radharani is there. So when there's a question of some expansion, that expanded form is what they call Swayam Prakash Rupam, or Tad Ek Atma. Oh, Rupam, Ek Atma, Dui Deha. They're all Vishnu Tattva, one, but there's different form. And it even gets very specific and technical, and Snat Kumara Samhita talks about Kirti Dasuta, Prishabhanu Nandini Radha, and then there's Samyogini Radha and Viyogini Radha, then there's Vrindavan Krishna, then there's Vasudeva Krishna and Mathura, and then there's Dwarka Krishna. So they're all different expansions of the original. So these are two forms that are perceived and realized by the devotees. And then the third form is Vaibhav. These are the many avatars or divine descents of the Swayam Rupa Krishna, such as the Purusha avatars, Karanadakshay Vishnu, what's called Mahavishnu, then Garbhadakshay Vishnu and Shirdakshay Vishnu. Then the Guna avatars, 4 Yuga avatars, 25 Leela avatars, 14 Manvantara avatars, innumerable Shaktivesha avatars and Bhavavesha avatars. And then 4 is the Swayam Rup Krishna. So Swayam Rup Krishna, expansion of Swayam Rup Krishna, known as Antaryami or the Super Soul. So this super soul, this is the one realizes a super soul at the level of a sakti. After ruchi comes a sakti. So at the level of a sakti, when one is very much attached to the Lord, then he may consign to speak to the devotee. That proverbial speaking with the Lord. The Lord spoke to me last night. Like so many neophytes say that I had a dream of Radharani and she spoke to me and she told me that you're my guru. People have come up to me and told me that. I said, that's very nice. I appreciate your extremely advanced state of consciousness. But unfortunately, I'm not so advanced. So Radharani hasn't come and spoken to me that you're my disciple. So I'm really sorry about that. So you better talk to her again and clarify what she said. And they're quite convinced about it. I said, fine, I wish you all the best. But I really can't facilitate your dream shiksha. You can go elsewhere and find more facility, I'm sure. Or sometimes when people are looking for a spiritual master and they approach me, and so then I say, you should pray to Nityananda, and he's Guru Tattva Balaram. And you pray and you try to search your heart and you pray, and the Lord will certainly help you. He'll direct you to your spiritual master. So then they come back in a few months and say, well, I prayed to Lord Nityananda, and he told me you're my spiritual master. Kind of backfires on me. So then I say, oh, I think your prayers weren't very sincere. You better try some more. I said, let me try also. Now you go away and keep praying, and I'll also start praying and see what the Lord reveals. So then, so this is the Antaryami who reserves the right to reveal himself at the appropriate stage of devotional advancement, not to be cheaply imitated. That I am super soul realized, because there are a lot of symptoms. There are quite a few clear symptoms in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita to describe the symptoms of a self-realized soul that is actually qualified to receive communication from the Paramatma. And if we see those symptoms and match them against the person who's saying he's talking to the super soul, then we'll find that he falls short, that he doesn't have any of those symptoms. Right? Like Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakankshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. That one is situated on the realized Brahman platform and he doesn't hanker or lament to have anything. And it's like this. And a fifth form of Swayam Bhagavan, who we have some opportunity to interact with, is the Archa Murti, the Archa Vigraha. This is the fifth form of the Supreme Divinity, graciously manifest in this world out of his infinite mercy and inconceivable power. For the fallen people like us, who are too much attached to gross earthly phenomenon, as is often said around the world, seeing is believing. So if they can see it, they believe it. So they want to show me God. Please show me God. Can you show me God? Yes, come. Lord Chaitanya also exhibited this quality. In Jagannath Puri, he came to Jagannath Puri in his ecstasy of viraha bhav, searching, where is my Krishna, where is my Krishna? And he met the Chokidar. He said, listen, can you show me Krishna? Where is Krishna? Can you show me God? Where is God? Where is Shamsundar, Brajendrananda? And I'm going crazy. Well, I'm looking for him. So then the Chokidar says, yes, yes, come. I can show you God. I will take you direct. You'll meet him directly. He took him by the hand and he said, come, run, quickly. Artik's going on. So they ran in the Jagannath Mandir through the Singhadwara gate. And then they ran across. He said, see, look, there is God. Lord Chaitanya saw him. Ah, he saw the beautiful smile of Shamsundar and heard the beautiful flute music and saw the flute pressed to his beautiful red lips. And seeing that sight, Lord Chaitanya swooned in divine rapture and fell on the floor of the temple. And the Chokidar was saying, gee, he really saw God. I come in every day and see God, and nothing like this ever happens to me. What's going on here? So this is what we call seeing and being seen by the Lord, as exhibited in the Leela of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Sri Ketra Jagannath Puri. But nevertheless, we each have, every one of us, we have opportunity to see the Lord, because we're phenomenal, we're very much phenomenal people. Not phenomenal like amazing, but phenomenal means material. We have material bodies and material senses and material minds, and we have material outlook and material conceptions. So the Lord says, oh, you are involved in material objects and things? Okay, well, look, here I am. I'm also one of you. Now you can see me, and I'll even let you touch me and dress me. If you touch me, then your transcendental desires will be fulfilled rather easily. And I'll give you so much benefit and blessings and benedictions if you render some small service to me. Svapamapyasya dharmasya. So this commentary says, two similar-looking objects need not be identical. A spark is not a glowworm, which like a little fly that flies around and makes a light in the back, his backside. He makes a little light. In English, in Hindi, they call it a glowworm. He's glowing. It's a little bug flying around, giving light. And a spark are not the same. There's a spark of a fire, although they appear so to an ignorant child. Like a child sees at nighttime, in the summertime, he sees one of these bugs flying around with a little light, a little green light on the back. So, oh, Daddy, look at the light there. There's some fire there. Fire. I remember in America we used to call them fireflies. So they fly around, especially in summer seasons, and they have a little light in the back, a little tail light, stop light. But it's green, I guess they're always on the go. They don't really stop much. So that's firefly. But that's not light, that's not a spark. No, it's just some, I don't know what that is. It's got a hot tail. Makes some kind of light. So the analogy is that a murti, a statue of some goddess, Venus de Milo or whatever it is, some statue of some human being, lady or gentleman, and then the deity of the Lord are not the same, although they may look like the same. One is transcendental. So this is elaboration on the principle of touching the deity. Now this next principle is number 42 out of 64. It's quite interesting to note that all these various limbs of devotion, most of them are all about a lot of them are about the deities, interacting with the deities. Because mind you, we're discussing sadhana bhakti, and at this stage of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is the discussion of Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, which is rules and regulations. So the primary deity or the worshipable Lord for the sadhaka at the level of Vaidhi, the beginner, the practitioner, the primary interaction with the Lord is with this form of the Lord, with the archa vigraha, that we can only touch, we can only see and perceive and relate, have relationship with this form of the Lord. Super soul, the next step up, the next level of relationship or intimacy with the Lord would be the super soul. And this would be the internal deity, the indwelling witness, the supersoul or the oversoul. So that particular deity or form of the Lord of Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he demands some adhikar or qualification or eligibility before he reveals himself to be heard, to be seen, to be touched, to be perceived. He's hiding, guha. Guha means he's hiding in the cave of the heart. This was the statement of maybe Shishupal, I think, when he was saying that, Shishupal was speaking, and Shishupal was saying, we can go and attack the Yadavas, and we'll be all successful. We don't have to be afraid, because you're so powerful, you've already defeated all the demigods so many times, Kamsa. You can read about the strength of King Kamsa in Harivamsa Purana. It's quite, in English it's there, quite an elaborate description about how powerful a warrior, and Bhagavatam, he's played down because he's a useless character in terms of Braj Leela. But standing on his own name and fame, is quite amazing. He defeated so many demigods, he could fight with, and it describes him, actual Kamsa, fighting and winning. We only hear about Kamsa's defeat, his final defeat, where he was killed by Krishna. And this was a rather ignoble fight. He lost. But there's a whole description about how many fights he won and how he would defeat the greatest demons. Because all these great demons were so powerful. They fought with King Kamsa. And the rule of a Kshatriya is either he kills his enemy or the enemy surrenders and becomes his slave. So Kamsa fought with Keshi himself and defeated him, just like Krishna. And he fought with Agasura and he fought with all these different demons. And he defeated them, and then they became his chum chum or whatever. Chum cha. They became his servants. They became his servants that had to work for him. So they were slaves, basically, because if they stepped out of line, he would bop them and defeat them again. So it's described in Hari Bhams Purana how he fought Keshi. It was an amazing fight. He was throwing trees and boulders and mountains and all kinds of things. And he's picking up Keshi and he's throwing Keshi into the air 27,000 miles. I mean, those are big time. They were big time fights in those days. He picked up Keshi and threw him in the air 27,000 miles. Which means, okay, let's make it easier. 34,000 kilometers. boom. And then Keshi would land on the ground and feel a little disturbance for a second. Then he'd pull himself together and then charge at Kamsa. Because Kamsa didn't know the secret of how to defeat Keshi. It's easier to take your left arm and say, listen, I'm a dentist. Please say, ah. Ah, and when Keshi says ah, then you put your left hand inside and go, then it inflates like a balloon, and then you blow him up, right? That's how Krishna killed him easily, just like Krishna killed Keshi as easy as blowing up a balloon. You know, a kid goes whoof, whoof, and the balloon goes poof. So he just put his hand, and then Krishna went whoof, whoof, and then and blew up his arm, and then his teeth fell out, and his eyes popped out, and he was killed in a second. You've read in the Krishna book, some maybe a little different version. So, but Kamsa, he had to work so hard to kill Keshi. I mean, it's not easy to throw a horse 27,000 miles in the sky. So, this super soul is not so easily realized. So, we begin with, in the Vaidhi Sadhana, there's so many verses here, as I mentioned, in these 64 limbs, all about interacting with, offering prayers, offering arti, seeing, circumambulating, the deity, the deity, the deity, the Archamurti. So it's very important to make friends with the deity. Our first friendship, our love begins with loving the deity. Love of Krishna begins with friendly dealings with the deity. And then that expands into friendly dealings with the devotees. First you're a Kanishta. Kanishta Adhikari has friendly dealings and love, some type of affection, love for the deity. And then that expands as he begins to have friendly and loving relationships with the devotees, then he becomes to the Madhyam platform. And he sees, oh, my deity Govindaji is also in the heart of the devotees. And they also have a relationship with my deity. In the beginning, I see my deity and me. I have a relationship with my deity, and my deity has a relationship with me. That's it, bast, hogya. But as we advance, we say, wait a minute, my deity is also your deity. It's my Govindaji. Well, you say it's my Govindaji also. And it's actually our deity. It's our Govindaji. So this is the Madhyam. Then he realizes, oh, we're brothers, and this is our common father. And we have a common Ishtadev, and let us cooperate together. Let us work cooperatively together to please Govindaji. So this is the Madhyam aspect. Again, tomorrow is about seeing the artik of the Lord. So this is again connected to the Archamurti.